been a day for me. Yeah, yeah.
And we are joined today by Cody Benjamin, who covers the Philadelphia Eagles for Bleeding Green Nation and also writes for CBS Sports, giving us a little bit of a Philadelphia Eagles perspective leading up to the big game. Cody, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I know we talked a little bit off air. I'm out in Minnesota now, so I kind of have a feel for the weather and the fan base out here, but definitely glad to be on talking Eagles and Vikings with you.
Well, certainly the biggest storyline in this game is the fact that you've got Case Keenum leading the Vikings at quarterback, and you've also got Nick Foles leading the Eagles. Now, not the number one quarterback for either team to begin the season, but you look at what they have both been able to do, and they certainly have led their teams to this point. So let's just start there. Just what have been some of the things that that the Eagles have had to do in order to tweak their offense to allow Nick Foles to continue to have success up to this point?
Yeah, it's been. I'm sure this is going to be a storyline that's kind of beaten into the ground up to and even during the game on Sunday. But you know, just from the Eagles' perspective, it's a pretty interesting transition going from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles. I mean. You know, I think they kind of, just before the Falcons game, the playoff game, they went back, and even Doug Peterson and Nick Foles both admitted that they went back to look at old game tape of when Nick Foles had his best performances, and that was when Chip Kelly was the coach, and that involved a lot of the run-pass option stuff and a lot of mostly just getting the ball out quickly, because we've seen in some of his worst performances, Nick Foles tends to backpedal a lot, get kind of caught up and in the pocket. And so a lot of his success hinges on getting that ball out quickly. And so, you know, in the Atlanta game in the postseason, I mean, the key has been you got to get the ground game going. And even if the ground game isn't going, I mean, you can't abandon it completely, because it really depends on just making things comfortable for him. And obviously, you know, a guy like Carson Wentz, he's going to extend plays in a way that not only Nick Foles, but most quarterbacks in the NFL can't do. And so that's just a big mobility factor. And, I mean, even Carson Wentz's presence helped the running game. So I think, again, it's just it simplified. That's the key here. And it simplifies the Eagles' offense. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing if it works. But against a defense like Minnesota, it's certainly going to be a challenge.
Both teams had some exciting games that went down to the wire. The Eagles beating the Falcons 15-10 in the divisional round, turning them away with a goal line stand. Matt Ryan trying to get it to Julio Jones on the final play, and pass goes through his hands, and the Eagles end up with the win. And, of course, the Minneapolis miracle for the Vikings. Is it your feeling that that it might not come down to the final play, but that we'll see another close game on Sunday between these two teams?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think coming into the Eagles and Falcons game, and even the Saints and Vikings, I mean, if you were going to call those games toss-ups, I mean, I think this one, this Sunday, is just as much of a toss-up. And I think it's, you know, the added, just the factor of it being in Philadelphia, I think that changes things at least a little bit. I think, yeah, it just is setting up to be one of those, you know, 20-17, maybe even, you know, 16-14 kind of games. And I think, you know, I'm really not sure whose favor that leans in, because obviously right now, you know, Case Keenum, you talked about the Keenum and Foles thing. I think Keenum has had obviously a bigger hand in the Vikings' success just because of Nick Foles' late arrival in the starting lineup. But both of these teams are built on defense, and you know, the Eagles a little bit more running the ball, but you know that it's playoff football. That's how they're built. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a close game, a toss up. And you know, going into those games like the Vikings and Saints and the Eagles and Falcons, I think both sides entering those games, I think you could have made the argument that the margin for error was going to be slim, and yet that wasn't necessarily the case. I mean, in the Atlanta game, the Eagles, you know, they turned the ball over twice. They had a bunch of special teams miscues. I mean, you know, Minnesota, they were about to lose that game. And so I think, you know, it's really in this game, this Sunday, is going to come down to which team makes the fewest mistakes.
The Eagles are underdogs at home, which is something that they were against the Falcons as well. But it seems like they really have thrived on this mentality of, well, nobody believes in us, and we're underdogs at our own stadium. Is that something that they have truly embraced, despite what the national media has done by labeling them underdogs?
Yeah, I mean, you saw, I'm sure everyone has seen by now that, you know, some of the players went as far as, you know, buying these masks of dogs. And now, you know, I'm genuinely expecting, I mean, thousands of people to show up. And whether they're going to wear these masks in the stands the whole game or not, I mean, they sold out on Amazon, they restocked these masks, and they sold out again. So, I mean, the city has kind of embraced it. And I pulled up a bunch of these, and again, these numbers don't really mean anything as far as, you know, they still have to come out and execute. But the numbers for the Eagles when they are underdogs, you know, when they are underdogs at home in the playoffs, they're 4-0. The Vikings in road playoff games since they became a dome team, I believe that they have a record of 3-13. And the last 8 conference championship games between the AFC and NFC, the home teams are 8-0. And so, I mean, I think there is something to be said for this home field advantage. I mean, the Eagles are still going to have to find a way to move the ball against that Vikings defense, and that's not going to be easy. But I really think this, you know, if ever there was a time to say home field advantage could play a factor, I think, you know, whether the weather's a little colder or whether there's just, that amplified atmosphere there, I mean, something – I think that's a factor, and it has to be considered here. And, I think the Eagles are definitely happy to have that in their favor.
Looking at what the Eagles have been doing offensively, they've got that big running back combo of Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount. What makes that group so difficult for opposing defenses to game plan?
Well, I think it's, if it's working, I think Jay Ajayi has really – he's still been in a limited role. I mean, Doug Peterson likes to rotate these backs. But I think with him, when he's not, he's had a little bit of a problem with holding on to the football, but when he's holding on to the ball, he's definitely the most explosive. I mean, pretty much every game since Jay Ajayi's had, or come over from the Dolphins, he's had a big run, and he had a lot of them, or a few of them, against Atlanta. With LeGarrette Blount, I think it's a lot easier, especially for a defense like the Vikings, to, I guess, crowd him up front. He hasn't had the greatest yards per carry, really, since Jay Ajayi came over. But the dangerous thing is that, I guess, like we said, the defense, the run game, these teams are built for the playoffs. And if you can pound the rock 30 times between, Ajayi and Blount, and Corey Clement, the number 3 back, used a lot, like Darren Sproles was once used. I mean, that could wear a defense down, especially in a game where time of possession plays a big role.
The Vikings have developed a pretty good 1-2 combo at receiver. The Eagles no slouch in that department either. But you look at Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and especially after what Diggs was able to do to the Saints, how well do the Eagles match up defensively on those two?
Well, I think that if you're looking for a mismatch in this game, I think that might be the biggest one. I mean, between Thielen and Diggs, I mean, you've got a guy, or two guys really, who can go over the middle and make contested catches, but also, obviously with Diggs, to be able to stretch the field, especially, the way we saw the Vikings' last playoff game. And but, the Eagles don't have bad cornerbacks. I'd argue that they probably have a better slot cornerback than the Vikings. But Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby on the outside, I mean, they can be had. They obviously were able to do just enough, barely, against Julio Jones. But I think, run defense-wise, the Eagles shouldn't have too much of a problem against Minnesota. I think their depth matches up well with the Vikings' offensive line. But if Case Keenum can get the ball out quickly, I think the Vikings are going to be in a good position. I mean, their receivers are just better than the Eagles' cornerbacks. And so, really, this game, like a lot of games, is probably going to come down to the trenches. How much pressure can the Eagles get on Case Keenum? How much time does Case Keenum have to throw the ball? I think that's going to be a big determining factor in how much Thielen and Diggs can do.
Another interesting matchup. You mentioned the battle in the trenches, and that is 100% right. It's going to be one of those kind of games. The Eagles' offensive line has gone through some changes throughout the season. How do you see them stacking up against a Vikings defensive line that includes the names like Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, Linval Joseph?
Yeah, it's. I guess it really can't be overstated. I mean, how important this, you know, for both sides, this defensive line versus offensive line battle really is. And I think the Vikings, you know, Doug Peterson himself, he said, you know, Everson Griffin is a game wrecker. He called him that. And Linval Joseph, you know, nobody is a slouch there. And so Halapulavati Vaitai is the obvious weak link at left tackle. But even he looked, you know, okay against Atlanta, held up enough. That right side of the line is pretty strong for the Eagles. I mean, they've got pro bowlers between Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks, and Lane Johnson. So the whole right side is pretty much as good as you could ask for. It's really, you know, I think that the Vikings defensive line obviously has a strength over that left side of the Eagles line. But if you're going to flip it and look at the Eagles defensive line against the Vikings O-line, I think that the depth aligns in the Eagles' favor there. But again, I think offensively, you know, talked about Nick Foles, the offensive game plan has been simplicity. I mean, you got to get the ball out quickly. You got to have time to get to or find running lanes. And against that Vikings front, I'm not sure whether that's going to be possible for, you know, how do you put together those 13, 14 play drives? It's going to have to be, can Nick Foles take a shot downfield and can somebody beat Xavier Rhodes or Harrison Smith? And so this really is, I mean, the more we talk about it here, I think the more clear it is that this is going to be a pretty bottled up matchup, or at least on paper it looks like it will be.
Talking to Cody Benjamin, who writes for CBS Sports, also for Bleeding Green Nation. And another link between these two teams is the Sam Bradford trade. Now, Bradford finally able to get back on the active roster after missing most of the season. And it's something that really is interesting to look at. Bradford has played very well when he's been healthy for the Vikings, but that trade ended up allowing the Eagles to do a couple of different things in the first round. And it seems like one that truly will go down as a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, and I guess in an unconventional way. I mean, because I don't necessarily think that the Vikings, you know, looking back on it now, on trading that many or that much ammunition for Sam Bradford, I mean, they probably expected that with that kind of compensation that right now, going into the NFC Championship game, that Sam Bradford will be starting. And so you're right. I think it worked out, not in the way that many of us expected. And it just almost feels like, you know, I saw somebody say this, it just seems like it's inevitable that Sam Bradford is somehow going to take a snap or two against the Eagles on Sunday. And you know, obviously no one's hoping for any kind of injuries or anything, but just the way this thing has played out, just the connections, the endless connections between Keenum and Foles and the Eagles, you know, I just imagine if Sam Bradford were called upon at some point in this game in Philadelphia where he had to play before. But, yeah, it's really interesting, and I think that's not the only connection between this team. I mean, you look at the defense, the way this team's built. You look at the resiliency. I mean, the Vikings having to overcome Bradford's loss, Dalvin Cook's loss. I mean, you look at the Eagles. You've got a countless number of guys between Wentz, Darren Sproles, Jason Peters. And then you look at the fan bases. I mean, I think if there's any two fan bases that can really relate to each other in terms of enduring heartbreak, I mean, I think it would be the Eagles and Vikings. And so I think it's, you know, I guess no one's really going to be, you know, one side isn't going to be happy no matter what happens on Sunday. But really, these two teams couldn't be more similar, I think, in this scenario.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just everywhere you look up and down the rosters, the fan bases as well, which is another great comparison, there's a lot of similarities between these two teams. One fascinating thing, Cody, about the conference championship games, you look at what's going on over in the AFC as well with New England and Jacksonville, and you look at these final four teams and how dominant the defenses have played. New England, after their rough start, they have been very good over the last handful of weeks of the season and into the playoffs. And it just shows that you look at all these quarterbacks throughout the NFL, that defenses are still the thing that that get teams deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think every cycle that, you know, where we go through the postseason again, I feel like we're reminded of something. I mean, I feel like a few years ago it was, you know, the running back position gets a lot of heat. And I think, you know, we probably had one year where we realized, wow, like every team in the playoffs right now that's left has, you know, an all-pro, a workhorse running back. And, you know, you're reminded another year, you know, the Broncos won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning when he had pretty much half an arm left. And so that was a reminder that the defense was big. And, yeah, I think it's important, and it's pretty much the ultimate reminder is that this is a team game. And, yes, a quarterback is pretty essential to having that. You know, the Eagles wouldn't have made it this far if they didn't have Carson Wentz for most of the year. The Vikings wouldn't have been this far if Case Keenum didn't, you know, become a good quarterback. But at the end of the day, yeah, it is a team game, and defense is a big part of that team. And you mentioned the Jaguars, what's happening in the AFC. I think probably, you know, if you're the Eagles or the Vikings and you can escape the NFC Championship and get to the Super Bowl, I think you should be pretty confident, you know, especially if Jacksonville advances, because if you can beat the Eagles defense or you can beat the Vikings defense, I mean, who's to say you can't pull one out against the Jags defense? I mean, going up against Tom Brady is probably another story, but I think, there's reason for hope for everyone right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Cody, before we wrap up here, where can the listeners, we've mentioned that you work for CBS Sports and also write for Bleeding Green Nation, but if fans are curious to follow a little bit more of your work leading up to the game on Sunday and potentially beyond that for the Super Bowl, where can they find it?
Sure. On Twitter, it's just at Cody, C-O-D-Y, J as in James, and then Benjamin. And then on CBS Sports, if you just go to cbssports.com, you'll find all the stuff on the NFL page. I mean, it's pretty much going to be, it's Eagles and Vikings heavy for the next couple of days. And then on Bleeding Green Nation, you'll find my columns there every Thursday. And so CBS Sports is daily stuff and Bleeding Green Nation is weekly. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter and shoot me all your angry reactions after Sunday's game.
Cody, thank you so much for joining us here today. Looking forward to what should be a great game between these two teams. And we'll see how things play out. We'll maybe have you on a little bit later on to preview the Super Bowl or to recap this game.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for having me on. You enjoy the game as well.